So today I'm presenting just a portion of the research that I've done as part of my master's thesis. And this today is going to be about the spatial and temporal variations that we see of stink bugs in cotton in South Carolina. I'm going to give you a little bit of background information about cotton production in South Carolina and the problems that that stink bugs have as part of that. Then also the methods that I used to sample for the bugs and also for internal boll injury. The analyses that I've run so far to determine any spatial and temporal variations, the results of those analyses, then summarize that for you, and then also mention a couple of future applications of these results. So I found this picture. It was kind of interesting. I was actually looking through a kid's insect book from 1975, and whether the artist knew about the relationship between stink bugs and cotton at that time. Who knows, but stink bugs have been a pest of cotton. I believe it was first recorded in the early 20th century, and since the introduction of transgenic cotton, it's become of increasing importance in cotton production in South Carolina, coming from what was previously a secondary pest to a primary pest of cotton. And that might be due in part because of the reduced use of broad-spectrum insecticides that once provided that were used on the bollworm budworm complex, but also provided coincidental control over stink bugs. The graph at the bottom, I used some of the data that's presented here every year from Dr. Williams as far as insect cotton losses. This is the average insecticide applications a year. The blue is for bollworm, and then the pink is for stink bug. We see once that there was the introduction of transgenic cotton, there's been a dramatic decrease in the average number of insecticide applications per year, and that the stink bug, the pink line, has gradually increased over those same years until we get to 2007. There's been a flip-flop now. There's been very low bug pressure in South Carolina for the past 2 years, and now bollworm has become at this time, a more important pest of cotton than stink bugs. And I've actually already seen a couple of posters here that discuss the spatial and temporal dynamics of cotton production. And it seems to be a really hot topic in trying to understand the behavior of these bugs and what kind of effect that has on cotton production. The three main players that we see are the brown stink bug, Eustis cervus, the southern green stink bug, Nasira viridula, and also the green stink bug, Acrosternum hilare. So some of the research objectives that I have as part of my thesis, one being to determine if spatial and temporal variations exist in these populations. I'm also evaluating different sampling methods to determine their efficiency and effectiveness. Another portion is sampling along field margins, see if there's any edge effects on stink bug density and boll injury. And a major portion is also the influence of what kind of influence do we see in stink bugs and cotton from other surrounding crops and habitats. And today I'm just going to focus today on the spatial and temporal variations. So for my methods and materials, I sampled in a total of 7 cotton fields, 3 in 2007, 4 in 2008. And then each field was selected based on the kind of variety of crops and habitats that surrounded each field. And in those fields, I subdivided them into 1-acre grids with a sampling site. There we go. Sampling site in each acre. All right. And at each sampling site, I used 3 different sampling methods. 2 direct sampling methods using a drop cloth and a sweep net to get bugs, stink bug numbers. And when I discuss today, when I speak of total bug numbers, it'll be the combination from these 2 direct sampling methods will be total bugs when I mention those. And then I also examine bolls for internal injury, 20 bolls in each sampling site. And an example of what we look for in an injured boll is stained lint and then the calloused warts that develop around the feeding site. So this is one of the fields that I sample in. I just wanted to give you an example of kind of the variety of habitats that can be involved in agroecoscape. So the green field is the field that I actually sampled in. It's a 30-acre field surrounded by peanut, corn, soybeans, some more cotton, and even and sunflower. All of these other crops are, can provide or known hosts of stink bugs that can then move into cotton or move out of cotton. So has a see what kind of effect that has on the immigration and emigration of stink bugs in, into the cotton field. The next few slides, I'm going to show the map here. So we have the first sampling date for this field was at the towards the end of July. And the bars over here, kind of a rainbow color indication of zero being blue. And then the total number that I saw at any one site on any one date was 20. And then the progression between there. So on this first sampling date, and then the chart shows the total bugs for the entire field on that sampling date. So along the x-axis is the actual date, and then along the y-axis is the total number of bugs. And I also examined adult bugs and immature bugs. All right, so on the, here we go to the second date. We see a few more adult bugs along the perimeter of the field. Then on the next week, slight increase. See a bit of a hot spot developing here at this site. But again, it's all just all adult bugs at this point. And then when we see the first nymphs appear, we get the really hot spot right here. So whether these, I didn't actually classify nymphs into instars, I just classified them adult or nymph. So this might have been first or second instar egg or clump of bugs making that a hot spot. We also see spots here along the edges that also have their fair number of bugs. And then as we progress, hot spots tend to move around. And then we see them show up again near peanut and along the margin or the interface with soybean. Now when we get into the final 2 weeks of sampling, which is towards the end of August, early September, we see that as far as at each individual site, we're not seeing extremely high numbers, but there's more sites that have bugs. So you see there's actually less of this dark blue and more of the other colors. And then the next week is very similar as far as a lot of sites have some bugs, but not an overwhelmingly large number. So staying on kind of a macro scale of analyzing these populations, I wanted to look at dispersion patterns. And I provided for you an example of what a uniform, a random, and aggregated dispersion pattern would look like. And how you can determine that is just using an F-statistic, which is a sample variance divided by the mean ratio. So when the number, when that F-statistic is less than one, you have a uniform pattern of dispersion. When it's equal to one, it's considered to be random. And when it's greater than one, you have aggregated patterns of dispersion. So on this chart, all the different symbols are actually just all the seven different fields I sampled in. On the y-axis, it has the sampling, each sampling week. And then along the x-axis is the F ratio. Now I mentioned that one is kind of the key, is the key. When you have it directly on one, it's random. Before that, it's uniform. If it's higher than one, we see aggregated. And for the major majority of these, we see an aggregation of these stink bug populations. And then when we see the highest degree of aggregation is in August. So to actually look at it spatially and temporally, I divided the fields to do staple to do spatial. I compared the external sampling sites versus the internal sampling sites. So that's the red and the blue, red being external, blue being internal. This field off to the on the second row off to the right looks kind of wonky because there was more cotton that I didn't sample and planted right next to it. It was a different variety, so I didn't include it as part of my study. Then I also wanted to look at the temporal effects over months, comparison between July, August, September. And to do this, I used a mixed procedure in SAS to compare these spatial and temporal dynamics. So when we look at the results for the mean boll injury, we do see significant effects for months, so over time, space, and spatial temporal interactions. Look at mean adult bugs, we see no significant effects for month or space or an interaction between those two. And the same is for the mean immature stink bugs. There's no significant effects for the month, the space, or the interaction in between. But when we combine those two and do mean total bugs, then we do see some significant interactions for significant effects for space and temporal, spatial temporal interaction. And I included this slide because of a question that I was asked at the ESA, National ESA meeting in Reno back in November about, is there a correlation of the numbers of bugs that we see to the amount of ball injury? So what I came up with was this chart. Along the x-axis, we have the average number of bugs for an entire field. So we're not talking about just the per site, but this is whole field average numbers of bugs. And then on the y-axis is the average percent ball injury for the whole field. So when averaging those and then running a linear regression, or excuse me, a logarithmic regression, we get an R-squared value of 0.49. So that's about 50%, which isn't all that great. It's definitely not significant. But I think because of the high mobility of adults and their ability to possibly feed, move to a different site and feed, that we tend to not find bugs where there's ball injury. And apparently that does happen half the time. Oops. Sorry. So to summarize, the stink bug populations tend to be aggregated, kind of confirming that August is the stink bug month. That we do see significant spatial and temporal interaction for ball injury and for total bugs, but when we break that down into adults and immatures, that we just see no significant spatial and temporal effects. And that the correlation between ball injury and stink bugs is not significant at a rate of about 50%. So a couple of different future applications. With my data set, using a principal components analysis and/or also a multivariate analysis of variance to see if there's any differences between the three different kind of main economically important species and life stages. Maybe using a different test, we'll kind of tease apart to see if there is a difference between adults and immatures. And also see if there's a role in crop phenology, of crop development, such as nodes above white flower, plant height, or the NDVI, the normalized difference vegetative index. See if that has any kind of a role in the spatial and temporal differences that we see. And then actually what I'm just most excited about is kind of the merger of all these different sciences of entomology, precision agriculture, multivariate spatial statistics and geographic information systems to work on managing the stink bug problem. Like I said, the past couple years have been low pressure for stink bugs, but I think being able to use this combination of all these different sizes, that when there is a problem, when there is heavy pressure, that will be able, that growers, consultants, and researchers will have a handle on the problem. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge my committee members, Dr. Green, Dr. Adler, Dr. Ray Jones, Dr. Gerard, Dr. Kalilian, Dr. Taves. I'll mention at this time that Dr. Ray Jones and Dr. Taves are actually collaborating with me on this project using the same kind of materials and methods in their, in Georgia and then in the upstate of South, or northeastern part of South Carolina. So that when I go to publish my results in my thesis, it'll actually include data from about 30 fields. So I think that's gonna have a good overall perspective on the spatial and temporal variances. Then also the faculty and staff at Clemson University and the EDISO Research Station. And for funding for my project, the Cotton Incorporated South Carolina Cotton Board and the South Carolina Cotton Producers. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions you may have. Yes? Yes, sir. Yes. On which chart? Oh, for the regression?
Yeah, I mean, you got two different data. You are messed up because of the two opposing data points for the same density. So I suggest maybe removing one or maybe averaging those two.
Okay. Yeah, the question about the correlation. I had one significant outlier in there already, which totally threw everything off. I felt comfortable with already discarding that outlier. I didn't want to go any further. I didn't want to kind of make it look better than it might actually be. But yeah, I like I said, that was from a question that I received at a previous conference. I just wanted to be able to stand up here today and be able to say, you know, about the correlation. just take them all out, huh?
We're out of time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sorry.